morning. As Elder Gary Carwell said, Pastor, our senior pastor, Pastor Chris Colley, and Mariel Deraway, a very well-deserved and earned holiday. Also, Pastor Noel and Catherine and the family. So there's a few people away. So keep them in prayer that God will bring them safely when the time comes for them to come home. Well, this week, as you all know, we said goodbye to 2018. And some people are glad to see the end of it. Some people had a very hard time last year. I know we know some families that nothing was going right for them, unfortunately. One lady in particular, she close to the end of the year, she lost three close members of her family within about 3 weeks. She lost her husband. About a week later, she lost her auntie, her mom's sister. And then about a week later, she lost her own mother. So some people had a hard time last year. We've lost a few family members ourselves. I've lost two cousins in their 50s. I lost auntie. Lost another my niece's husband in his 50s also. So yeah, some people was glad to see the year come to an end. But we're looking forward to this year. I'm sure God's got so much for us, especially as a church. And during the week, I was reflecting on that. And God really showed me there's going to be such a growth this year in this church. Not just numbers. It wasn't about numbers, about having, you know, these hundreds and hundreds of people. It's about growth within each heart that is here. Growth in people's lives. So we're going to see so much growth. And today, Elder Gary spoke about warnings, and my sermon this morning is about warnings. So so I think God is trying to speak to us, amen, including myself. So today is the beginning of the new year. It is good. It's a good time to examine our relationship with God. And my question to you this morning is, how is your relationship with God at the moment? I don't know how your relationship is. Only you and God knows that. And my prayer is that you have a close relationship with God, and you're aiming this year to have an even closer relationship with God. So it is a good day today for us as Christians to reflect on our walk with the Lord. And again, today will be a good day to examine ourselves and see if, maybe not, but if there is anything in our lives that shouldn't be there. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, most of us, I wouldn't say all of us, maybe most of us, have something that we would love to get rid of, something to get out of our lives once and for all. And we can do that by the grace of God. We cannot do it on our own, but we can do it by the grace of God. And Pastor Pat spoke a wonderful, brilliant sermon last week about grace. And if you wasn't here, or if you already forgot what it was about, just go on the website and listen to it again. Because I was reflecting during the week about that, and that was a brilliant, very good sermon, Pastor Pat, last Sunday. So we're going to open up this morning. We're going to stay at Colossians. So if you've got a Bible, keep your fingers on Colossians, chapter 3, verse 2. And it says this: set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. So in our spiritual lives, some things have to be let go. I think most of you agree that there's some things in our lives that we need to let them go. There are some things that try to attach themselves to our lives that are just trash. There's no other word for it. Some stuff is just trash. And the quicker we get them out of our lives, the quicker our relationship with God will be restored. We'll have a wonderful relationship with God. Our relationship with God will be a close relationship. Because those things simply don't have a place in our lives. Simply don't have a place in our lives. And those things need to be gone. And need to be gone now. before we start to compromise. You know, as humans, we are very good at compromising, are we? We love compromising, and we think, oh, well, that's okay. That will be all right. Or God understands. This is the situation I'm in, and God understands. But you know, God understands very well. And compromising is not a good thing. Once we start to compromise, we can so easily fall for the enemy's tricks. You know, I was at, after the church service, a few weeks ago, we were going to the girls' rest, and I was a bit hungry and stopped. I can't remember if it was McDonald's or Hungry Jack's, one of those. And my intention was to get a hamburger, just a cheese hamburger, simply cheese hamburger, something small until I go home and have dinner. And as I looked on the board, I thought, oh, that cheeseburger looks a bit small. I wonder if I should get a bigger one. Yeah, I think I'll get that big one there. And then just before I ordered, I thought, oh, there's chips. I might have a small chips with that. And I suppose I'm going to need a drink. So I think that one would be better. That's got everything in it, the drink, the chips. And the intention was to get a $2 cheeseburger, and I ended up with about $13 meal. So we are very good at compromising. Am I the only one that compromises? So here in verse 2, Paul tells us that we are to focus our thoughts on heavenly things, not on earthly things, but on heavenly things. We are to avoid getting caught up in all the things in this world and of this world. Things that would fill our minds and hinder our walk with God. And Satan is very good at that. I don't give Satan any credit at all because he's under our faith. But he's very good at trying to put seeds in our mind, those little seeds, hoping that some of those seeds will stick. And if we're not careful, some of those seeds will stick. If we allowed the mind to focus on this world, it would have no time to give itself to the things of God. Things like prayer, because we'd be too occupied with all these things in our minds. Let's read Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the basic principles of this world, rather on Christ. He's talking here about false doctrine. Paul warns these early believers here about those who would carry them into false doctrine beliefs. The enemy would love nothing better than for God's people to get themselves trapped in some false system of belief that takes the focus of Jesus. And believe me, there is many, many Christians today, people who call themselves Christians, that have some weird beliefs. And one of those people, I don't know the lady myself, but who knows her, when she used to go to the markets in Altona, sell baby stuff, which there was a lady there who called herself a Christian. And yet she used to sit down there at a chair and I think a desk, and she would read, do palm reading. And Sue told her that was wrong, that's not godly. She says, yeah, well, God, you know, God is using me in the area. God is using me to help people out. And that is not God, but some very, very weird belief. And as another lady, only last week we were talking to her. She's got some weird beliefs. She said, oh, God is love and everyone's going to heaven. Doesn't matter what you've done. God will not send anyone to hell. He's a loving God, and a loving God would not send anyone to hell. But she doesn't realize that God is a just God also. He is just, and he has to do what he has said he will do. There's some weird stuff going around there. If you start believing that stuff, you just walk away from God. We need to use God's wisdom. Man has invented some very strange belief system over the years. And we need to be careful that if what a person teaches is not backed up by the word of God, then that system is to be avoided by the Christians. If the focus is not on Jesus and his shed blood, then it's not of God. As Christians, we need to be careful of long-held belief. Just because people have believed something to be true, that does not make it true, does it? If people are very, very, some people can be very forceful, believing, no, this is true, this is how it is. That doesn't mean that is true. I mean, I follow Liverpool, and every year I say, Liverpool is the best. And I tell people, Liverpool is the best. But really, they're not the best. We got beaten this week. And, you know, I follow them for about 50 years, 50-odd years, actually, thinking, you know, they're the best. But since I've been following them, they only won 13 championships. If they were good, they would have won the 50 championships. So, you know, I can convince people that they're the best, and if they believe me, okay. But they shouldn't. They shouldn't believe what I'm saying. See, we are not to base our faith and our walk on the traditions of men, no matter how godly or worthy of respect the person may be. You know, growing up, I had some very strange, weird beliefs. The denomination we were in when we were growing up, of course, we never seen a Bible, never. I didn't know what the Bible was, except, you know, whoever was reading it. And some of the beliefs is always a picture of this demon, Satan, with a fork ready to just put it in you as soon as you've done something wrong. There was no love whatsoever about God. It's always just condemning. You know, it doesn't matter how good you were, but the minute you've done the wrong thing, one small mistake, here he is, ready to come and take you away. To hell, unfortunately. So some very weird beliefs, and a lot of this stuff is still being taught today. I'm even surprised that in this day and age, people still believe that stuff. We are to base our belief system on the Word of God alone. Simply, just the Word of God alone. People say, what about other books? Someone told me some time ago, they said, oh, not just the Bible. There's other books, history. I said, well... We only go by what the Word of God says, not these other books. You can read other books. I read many books. But we can only go by the Word of God. We're going to read Colossians again, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Okay. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. In Christ, and in Christ alone. There's a warning there. As Elder Gary just spoke about warnings, Paul also warns believers here to watch out for people who would place them back under the law. There are people out there who are pushing Christians to go back to the law. In fact, I had a call about 3 weeks ago about someone telling me to ring this person. I knew why they wanted me to ring this person. They're very, very strong, believing, still believing in the law, on the law. Pastor Pat and John had wonderful studies last year at Grow Group about the law. That's why if you're not attending a grow group, it's so important. If you want to grow this year, attend grow groups. Just make sure you got we got your details so Pastor Pat and John can put you in a grow group. We have many different grow groups, and if we don't have your details, there is these sheets at the back there. Just put your details on, and then we'll pass them on to Pastor Pat and John so they can put you in a grow group. Because you learn so much. If you haven't been to grow groups last year, you have missed out on a lot. Jesus came to deliver us from legalism and from the impossible demands of the law. We are to stand in the liberty we have been given in Jesus Christ. And I've been looking a bit about the law last week and some scriptures. I looked at Leviticus 19, chapter 19, verse 19, and also Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 11, and I thought, I'm sinning right now. If I live by the law, I'm sinning right now because I was wearing two different garments. Wool and linen, don't mix. Don't wear wool and linen because it's a sin. If we live by the, it's impossible to live by the law, and yet there's people out there who's pushing us to go back to live under the law. Let's read now Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. And we have a lot of warnings over here. Colossians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is adultery. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. A lot of warnings there, isn't there? A lot of warnings. Here in Colossians, Paul mentions some very, very dangerous distractions that would hinder our walk if they were allowed to. Now, in these verses, of course, Paul lists several common sins of the flesh. And he tells believers to get rid of them from their lives. Just get rid of them. Don't go another year still having some of these things in our lives. Because if Jesus came back today, and Pastor Chris spoke about that this year, about if Jesus came back today, is he going to find any of this stuff in our lives? And we know Jesus could come back at any time. So let's take a quick look at these verses and what they forbid. First, it talks about fornication in verse 5, which is sexual immorality. Now, this word is translated from the Greek word that refers to any type of sexual expressions. And it's not limited to certain sexual immorality. Paul is telling us here that any sexual activity that takes place outside the confines of marriage relationship is a sin and must be put away out of our lives. And today, you know, we hear so much stuff about these equal opportunity, same-sex marriage. I'm not going to get into that. But all they need to do is read these verses of Scripture, and they will know that it's not godly what's going on today. Second, uncleanness. Again, verse 5. This word means impurity, and it looks beyond the act of the body into the very thoughts of the mind and the motives of the heart. Not only is the outward man supposed to be clean, so is the heart and the mind. We need to have clean hearts and clean minds, as the Bible says. Thirdly, in verse 5 again, talks about lust. Now, this speaks of wicked passion. It has the idea of lust for forbidden things. God has marked certain things as being off limits. This kind of lust seeks out those things and it longs for them. Again, verse 5, evil desires. This speaks of a mind that longs for forbidden things. The person with this kind of mind never commits evil on a physical level, but they live in a fantasy world where their most wicked thoughts are acted out in the heart and in the mind. And I'm going through these very quickly. I know there is children here as well. 15 in verse 5, greed. Now, this word means to have more. It refers to the desire to possess more than one has been given by God. This is nothing to do with someone who has lots of money, lots of possessions. This talks about greed, about wanting more and more all the time. It is a refusal to accept what you have as the gift of God. If we don't accept that what we have is a gift of God, then it becomes greed. Everything we have, everything we own, God has given us. God has blessed us with. So there's nothing wrong if God blessed you with so much. But we need to be happy with what God has given us. It is placing of things ahead of God and of His will for your life. That is why it's called idolatry. Number 6, verse 8 now. It's anger. This word refers to a deep, deep bitterness. It is an anger that dwells in the heart and makes the angry person hard to deal with. And I think we all know people like that out there. The angry person will tend to lash out in both words and deeds. In verse 8, it talks about rage. This word refers to anger that boils over. It speaks of sudden explosive outbursts of anger. And you see it with road rage sometimes. People are just driving normally, all of a sudden someone cuts them off or beep a horn, and you see them coming out angry, that rage. They want to harm the other person. And I remember hearing a story one time, I didn't know the people myself, where a person was working under the car, and he had kids playing outside making noises, and he's telling them to be quiet, but you know, kids, they know how to be quiet sometimes. He got angry and grabbed a spanner and just threw it from under the car, and hit one of the kids in his forehead, and done a lot of damage to that child. In anger, in rage, he just threw it. Malice in verse 8 talks about malice. This is anger mixed with a desire to do harm. The focus of anger, when malice is involved, the angry person strikes out to do damage to another person. It's more like revenge to me. And many people are in prison today because of that. And verse 8, slander. The word to slander, it can refer to slanders directed at God or even at other people. We slander others when we insult others. And this happens in gossip, if we're gossiping about other people, or when we put others down behind their backs. That is slander. Number 10 in verse 8. Filthy communication. Now this refers to abusive speech, and it speaks of words that are thrown around in an attempt to hurt someone. Purposely throw words around, knowing that it's going to hurt somebody. And this usually happens when people say things they should not say in a moment of anger. You know, we sometimes say, maybe we all of us done that at one time or another, where we said something in anger, and then after we regret it. Come the next day or even the same day and say, why did I say that? And sometimes you have to live that for the rest of your life, knowing that I said something that hurted someone. You would never say it any other time, but in anger, we could say things that hurt other people. And the last one, number 11, in verse 9, it talks about lying. When we lie to one another, we are using the tool and tactic of the devil. That's what we're doing. And in fact, in John chapter 8, verse 44, tells us that this characteristic has no place in the life of a child of God. So very quickly, I shared these 11 dangerous distractions. And I think they are very, very dangerous distractions. So if any of these things are in your life, they need to be out of your life today, because they will hinder our walk with God. Any one of these sins can stop us from having eternal life with the Lord. And that's why we need to deal with these things today. because we know that no sin can enter heaven. We can compromise all we like, thinking, oh, well, it's only one thing I'm doing. No one knows about it. And I don't think God minds. It's one day I'll get rid of it. And one day as I get older, I won't do that anymore, or I won't say that anymore. But we need to get rid of these things straight away, very quickly, because they will destroy our lives. And we don't want to, as I said before, if Jesus comes and we've got these things in our lives that shouldn't be there, it's not going to be good. So how can we be victorious over the sin in our lives? Well, we're already victorious, aren't we? Because of what Jesus done for us on the cross. We are victorious. You know, we somehow seem to take that for granted, that we are victorious already. But one step we can take is to starve the fleshly appetites. Don't dwell on these things. The enemy may put things on your mind, or temptations, and temptation in itself is not a sin, as you all know. But don't dwell on it. It becomes a sin if we start dwelling on it and then we act upon it. Then it becomes a sin. So we need to throw it away from our lives straight away. Also, do not feed the anger. Do not feed the lust. We can fill our lives with positive things, that evil has no room to flourish. Don't leave room for the enemy to come in. Rebuke him every time he tries. And he will try. There's no doubt about it. He will try. That's one of his tricks. But rebuke him. You got authority. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit to God. And then rebuke him. You got every authority to rebuke the enemy. And the Bible says he has to flee. So don't keep dwelling on things. It's so easy to keep dwelling on things like this. But we need to get rid of them straight away, not dwell on them. As I said, don't leave room for the enemy to come in. Because if we give him room, he will come in. He can't make us sin. If we sin, it's our fault. Don't say the devil made me do it, or because he tempted me. He doesn't make us sin. If we sin, that's our fault. And fourthly, when we fill ourselves with the things of God and the word of God, sin cannot gain a foothold in our hearts. I'll say that again. When we fill ourselves with the things of God and the word of God, sin cannot gain a foothold in our hearts. And in conclusion, I know that's a lot to take in, isn't it? It's a lot to take in a short time. But as we just started the new year, I think we need to take a good hard look at our lives and at our walk with the Lord. How is our walk going with the Lord today? Is there anything there that need to be gone today? Are there some things in your life that need to be released this morning? Do you need to lay down some of the things mentioned in this message? So if there are any needs and the Lord has spoken to you, then let us pray for you. Let us ask the Holy Spirit. You know, many times we try to get rid of things on our own strength, but you know you never do it on your own strength. But you can do it with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us. And we can ask him for help. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, that you are our Lord and we can rely on you. Father, I just pray, Lord, if there's any one of these things that we mentioned, Lord God, even though we went through them very quickly, but Lord, I just pray that if there's anything, Lord, that's hindering our walk with you, because any one of these sins, Father, we pray that it will be gone from our lives in Jesus' name. We ask you, the Holy Spirit, to come and help us, that we will never allow these things into our lives. For we want to live for the Lord, not for the enemy. The enemy can come and tempt us all he likes. But he is under our feet, and he's got no authority over our lives. For all authority has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he lives in us with his Holy Spirit. So, Father, I just pray that you will strengthen us, Lord God. Give us strength, Lord God, to be able to say no to the enemy's tricks. No, he's got no authority. No, he can't come and interrupt our walk with you. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you will strengthen each one of us here. And, Lord, that, Father, if there's anyone in this situation, Lord, they will not leave this place. Father, before they ask for prayer, before they get rid of these weaknesses, Father, or these things that come up into their lives. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is with us, Father. And we have strength because of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.